We just have a few minutes here. I'm going to be about 10 minutes. I know you don't believe that. But let me just restate that. I'm going to try to be 10 minutes and finish up. Actually, take your Bibles and open to the book of Romans chapter 10. Now Josh, you dealt with the first few verses. I'm going to deal with the last few verses, okay? When I thought about just preaching tonight for a few minutes, I thought about Romans chapter 10. I honestly prayed and thought, well, the Lord laid this on my heart. And Romans chapter 10, down in verse 16, down to verse 21. And I want to talk about the outstretched hands of God. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I was reading about a metropolitan insurance company that received some explanations in their applications about their accidents. Actually, of course, when you have an accident, you fill out a report for the insurance company to get money back. And so this was some of their excuses that they used regarding the accidents that they had. And these are not made up. These are literal quotes from what people wrote on their form. Quote, an invisible car came out of nowhere and struck my car and vanished. The other car collided with mine without warning me of its intention. Here's another one. I had been driving my car for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had the accident. Here's one. As I reached an intersection, a hedge sprang up, obscuring my vision. Here's another. I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. Another one says, a telephone pole was approaching fast. I attempted to swerve out of its path when it struck my front end. And finally, here's one. The indirect cause of this accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth. Well, excuses are something that we use all the time, right? We all have excuses for things that we should do or things that we've done that we're sorry we did. What we're dealing with here tonight in Romans chapter 10 is really Paul dealing with some of the excuses that people have used for not obeying the gospel. That's really the issue that we have here. The Apostle Paul is specifically referring to the Jewish people when you get here to chapter 10, but it really these things can apply to all of us. And here's the bottom line. When a man stands before God, there'll be no excuse for not believing the gospel. Really, all of Romans chapter 10, as Josh kind of pointed out, is about the saving message of salvation. It's about getting the message out. It's about God sending preachers out. And the reason people won't have any excuse is because God is busy sending people out, people like Josh and Annie and others. He's sending all over the world to share the gospel. He is sending preachers to do his work. And so really the idea here then is that there's no excuse for not believing the gospel. And just a two preliminary thoughts. Sadly, not everyone is going to believe the gospel. Would to God that everyone obeyed the gospel message. Would to God that everyone got saved and hell was empty. But of course, we know that the sad reality is that's not true. The Bible even says here in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? The sad truth is that there will be many who will reject the message of the gospel. Jesus made it very clear that there's a broad road and a narrow road, and there's many on that broad road to destruction, and there's few on that narrow road. Our job, our message, our ministry is to get the gospel out, to get it to everyone. And the idea here, however, is when people reject the gospel, when they don't obey the gospel, it's not God's fault. You can't use that excuse. You can't blame God, because it is the heart of God that everyone hear the message. Well, let me just deal with some of the excuses that Paul kind of anticipates from the Jewish people here. And one of them is in verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? The Apostle Paul is kind of, again, anticipating some of the excuses that some may give, specifically Israel and the Jewish people. And Paul's anticipating this response. Well, maybe they all haven't heard. Maybe the reason that they haven't obeyed the gospel is because not everyone has heard. And the Apostle Paul kind of blows that away because he says in verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? And then he answers it, yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the end of the world. The Apostle Paul is saying, listen, God right now is busy sending out people all around the world to share the gospel. He's getting the light out. And really what he's quoting in verse 18 is from Psalm 19. Some of you who may have read Psalm 19 realize it's divided into two parts. The first part reveals the natural revelation, or we could say general revelation, of God's creation. If you look around at creation, we know there is a God. It's beyond my comprehension how anyone can be an atheist just by looking at creation. We see the power of God, we see the beauty of God, we see the wisdom of God, all of that. But then the second part of Psalm 19 deals with special revelation, the Word of God. And what Paul is basically saying is that there's a relationship between general revelation and special revelation. And in fact, it's the argument could go like this. General revelation, nature is continuous, it is universal, it is constant, it is abundant. We would all agree with that, right? When the sun is constantly shining, when it dawns until it goes down at night, the world, the earth is constantly giving us of its resources. We constantly see the beauty. We see the power of God in a storm. We are constantly being given the glory of God in creation. Well, there's a relationship between general revelation and special revelation. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Just as God is busy constantly sharing general revelation about himself through creation, God is also totally committed to getting the light of the gospel out all over. And that revelation of his gospel light, of his special revelation, is also universal. It is continuous and it goes around the world. So much so that the Apostle Paul uses Psalm 19 to say, you can't use that excuse to say you have not heard. Because God is busy right now getting the gospel out. All around the world, people are hearing because of godly missionaries like Josh and Annie and others. And also, we live today in a time of incredible communication. You realize that? The sermons here the pastor preaches are communicated around the world. The sermons here at Grace, I also have a website, Sermon Audio, where my sermons are put on that website. I had a guy preach a sermon here 2 weeks ago. A guy contacted me from Scotland, an email from Scotland. He had heard the sermon and said, man, I really enjoyed that. I got a blessing out of it. People are downloading sermons all over the world. When I took a mission trip to Africa, it's incredible to me that I was in the jungles of Africa and I could pick up my phone and text my wife who was back in the U.S. and she'd get the text. Is that not incredible? That's technology today. And we are using that technology and other things to continue to get the light of the gospel out all around. It's exciting to know that God is continuing to send people out to share the light of Christ all around the world. And so the Apostle Paul says you can't use that as an excuse. Because just like general revelation is constantly spreading forth its glory and light, even so it is true with special revelation. Well, here's another excuse. Maybe they didn't understand. This is another excuse Paul anticipates. Look at verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? Is there a possibility that perhaps the Jewish nation didn't really understand the gospel? And the answer to that is no. Well, how do we know that? Well, Paul points to two evidences. First, Moses. He quotes Moses. Look at verse 19. First, Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them who are no people. By a foolish nation, I will anger you. And so Paul says, no, they understood. Well, how do you know, Paul? Well, Moses said that God was going to use the gospel and the Gentiles coming to Christ to provoke Israel to jealousy. And here's the idea. Israel is going to watch Gentile people get saved, people who are not a nation. And what he meant by that is that people who are not part of God's special nation, special called nation, Israel, those people are going to get saved. And when Israel sees that, they're going to be jealous. And the very idea that they're jealous implies that they understand the gospel message. Jealousy implies understanding. Jews will see people getting saved, Jews who consider themselves superior to the Gentiles, and seeing these people get saved will cause them to be jealous. In verse 19, those who are no nation will come to Christ and it will anger the Jewish people. And so Paul says they clearly understand. The very fact that they're angry, the very fact that they get jealous tells us that they understand. And then he quotes from Isaiah. Look at verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. And here again, Paul is quoting from the Old Testament. And he says it's ironic that the Gentiles, even though they weren't seeking God, they were found by God. God was seeking after them. So here's the people that were not seeking God who got the gospel. They understood the gospel and they got saved. As opposed to people who were seeking the Lord, Jewish people, and did not embrace the gospel. And why not? We already saw in verse 4, because they were trying to establish their own righteousness. They were ignorant of the righteousness of God. And the idea behind the word ignorance is the idea of stubbornness. Not just a misunderstanding, but a stubborn refusal to accept God's way of salvation. God's righteousness. And so Paul says, you can't use that as an excuse. They heard, and they understood, and then someone says, well, maybe they were not invited. Is that the problem? No. Why? Look at verse 21. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. No one can ever use the excuse that they were not invited. You know why? Because God is constantly inviting. He's inviting right now. God commands all men everywhere to repent. He commands it. The gospel, again, is not so much an invitation as it is a command. God is commanding men to repent. Notice, this is God here. This is a very tender verse. This is a very compassionate verse towards sinners. Because here, God is portrayed as one who is standing in front of people, and he is stretching out his hands, and he's inviting people to come. That's the idea. Look at it again, verse 21. But to Israel, he says, all day long, I have stretched forth my hands. That's God. That's the heart of God for people to be saved. He's stretching forth his hands. Notice the posture of it. He's like a parent. He's got his hands reached out. And he's calling people unto himself. That's very, very touching to see that. The hands of God stretching out. And notice also, not only the posture of it, but notice the persistence of it. How long does he do it? In verse 21, all day long. God never stops. 24/7, he's stretching out his hands. He's calling people unto himself. That, again, is the heart of our great and merciful God. Now think about that analogy. You ever try to hold your hands up for a few minutes? You ever try to do it for a few hours? How many here think you can do it all day long? I was reading a book when I was a teenager by Harlan Popoff, Torture for His Faith. He was a Bulgarian pastor that was arrested and taken to a prison and tortured. And one of the tortures they used to try to break his will was to hold his hands out constantly all day. Because after a while, your arms feels like logs. And anytime he would drop his hands, they would beat him and make him raise his hands again. But here God is stretching out his hands all day long. He never ceases to keep his hands stretched out unto people. But notice the pity of it in verse 21. But he's doing it unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. And again, this was referring specifically to Israel here, but we can apply it to others who disobey the gospel. The word disobedience simply means they are people who resist. Gainsaying is people who speak stubbornly against. And again, he's referring to Israel, but we can also say this of many other people. Many reject the gospel and they refuse to obey. But I want to tell you something, friend. You can't blame God. You can't blame God because it's the heart of God for people to be saved. Our job is to be involved in carrying out the gospel message. Here where we are in Baltimore, Maryland, sharing Jesus Christ wherever we go. We're supporting missionaries that are going around the world. William Carey said, I'll go down the hole if you'll hold the rope for me. Whether we're holding the rope for those who will go down the hole or whether we're out there sharing the gospel ourselves, we're involved in this so that God can say, I'm stretching forth my hands. Those hands are reaching around the world. And he's pleading with people to come to Christ. That is the heart of God, and that should be our heart as well. We should long to see people come to know Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Father, we thank you for the challenge of these verses here. The challenge that Josh gave us. The heart of God for Israel to be saved, the heart of the Apostle Paul. And Lord, may it be a reflection of our heart to see people come to Christ. People here in our country and other countries like Ireland and other places. May we have that passion that Paul has. May it beat with the desire to see people come to know him. But we know, Lord, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And how are they going to hear unless they have a preacher? So, Father, thank you for those who are willing to go. May we be encouraged by this. May we be inspired by this. Lord, may we determine that we're not let the passion for evangelism leave us. It's very easy, Lord, to forget about the lost, to be so consumed with our own world, our own things, that we forget about lost and dying souls around us. Father, help us not to get into that mode. Help us, Lord, to remember your heart and your hands that are constantly stretched out. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And before we close out our service tonight, I just want to ask. I don't want to leave this service without giving an invitation, because right now, again, God's hands are stretched out. And they're stretched out towards you tonight if you don't know Jesus Christ. God is reaching forth unto you. And you know he's saying, come unto me. Jesus said this in his earthly ministry, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And if you're here tonight, you're not absolutely sure that you're a Christian, that Jesus Christ lives in your heart, then right now God's hands are stretched out towards you and he's saying, come to me. Are you weary of the burden of sin? You don't have to carry that burden anymore. You can come to Christ, the one who died for you, the one who died for your sins. All of your sins were laid on him on the cross. And when he died, he paid that sin debt. And now salvation is a gift. And he's offering it to you right now with his hands outstretched. Would you be willing to come to him tonight? Would you be willing to say, yes, I'm tired of the burden of sin. I want to come to Christ. Would you just pray this prayer in your heart and mean it? I'm not trying to manipulate you in any way. I just want you to know Christ. If you'll say this in your heart, maybe in your own words, say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And Lord Jesus, I know that I need you. And I see today that your hands are stretched out towards me. And so tonight I'm coming to you, Lord Jesus, as a sinner. Please save me. Make me your child. Forgive me. And friend, if you'll pray that and mean it, I want to tell you, based on the authority of the Word of God, you can be a child of God right now. If you'll turn to Christ. And then those of us who are here are Christians. Maybe we just need to renew our desire, our passion, our determination to go and share Christ with others. Maybe God has laid someone on your heart even tonight. May we be an evangelistic people. May we be quick to share Christ with those that God brings us into contact with. Father, again, thank you for this time tonight. Use these words to stir our hearts. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.